B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on twitch.tv. Sign up for 98.5 The Sports Hub. There's a big conversation going on there. Everyone making fun of everybody and all those things, to my recollection. You can also get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, listen to the show, the podcast, everything that's going on. And be prepared, because on Friday it is a listener participation bit, is that we want to uncover yet again who is the spookiest member of 98.5 The Sports Hub. And people call in and they state their cases. Now, who won last year? I imagine it's Jay Stu in a landslide every year.
Marshall Hook's always in there. He's always one of the spookiest.
My recollection, it was Hook who won last year.
And Sarge is no longer Sarge. That's a conversation that's been going off the air here. Is that
Sarge is no longer Sarge?
It says Mike Riley in between the ropes now. It doesn't say Mike Sarge Riley. It just says Mike Riley.
What about when he's on the air? Does he call himself Sarge?
When was the last time he was on the air?
I guess during the summer, probably, when there was a bunch of fill-ins?
No, it's. I think now the Sarge has been dropped. I think he's simply Mike Riley.
Really?
Which is spooky unto itself.
That is, like, what happened? Was it a paranormal entity that made his name?
He was exorcised. The Sarge was exorcised.
The douche. The ghost of the douche. I would like if we could even get Sarge to do some of Halloween songs for us, but that's, you know, that's not my forte. I can't be the one who puts those wheels in motion. But Sarge does Halloween, but that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. All right, so Rich, the AV Club, which is something I visit every day, the website, it had a list of scarier than fiction, 9 genuinely frightening documentaries. Now, I'm going to list what they have, and you can tell me your own list if you want.
I've got two that just immediately come to mind. Yes.
Okay. One is called Cropsey, which is it's a tale about a boogeyman named Cropsey who lives in the woods outside an abandoned mental hospital and snatches any kid who's foolish enough to go into the forest alone. They proceed to break down the truth behind the urban legend, a tale of institutional neglect and child abduction that's almost more disturbing than the myth itself.
Ooh, so there was actually a dude who was living in the woods and abducting people?
I don't know. You'll have to go about that. There is one that I even read this and started investigating, and I watched half of it last night, yesterday evening, the Cheshire Murders, Cheshire Murders. Okay. In Connecticut, there was a home invasion.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah, and then the guys, they tied up the two daughters and the husband, and they took the wife to the bank where she took out money, and she told the teller that they were going to murder her if she didn't bring this money back. And when the police got to the house was on fire, and the criminals had sexually assaulted the wife.
Ooh, and the oldest,
and one of the daughters, and lit the house on fire, and they found the daughters and the wife dead, and the husband had escaped, and then they go back into the history of what made these guys so brutal and all those things.
Yeah, yuck.
So right. I watched like half of that yesterday. Then there's the sleep paralysis one, which is the nightmare. If you've had sleep paralysis, 617-779-0985, because there's going to be a lot of people who've had it, because I've had sleep paralysis. I got it all the time a couple years ago. When I napped, where your body releases a chemical when you sleep, which is what happens to everyone. And I saw a guy on Twitter say that when he's on a cruise ship, they can't have a balcony room because he doesn't have that chemical release all the time.
Oh, my God.
So he could just get out on the balcony and jump off because you act out your dreams. So, but what happens with sleep paralysis is you don't fall asleep completely when you are in that state of paralysis. And you can have
creepy visions.
See, to me, that is, and the movie does a really good job illustrating the stories that people are telling of not being able to move. Well, as you said, Fred, they're in like a dreamlike state, and all these awful things are happening around them because when you dream, you have nightmares. So it's basically a waking nightmare, and you can't move or do anything to stop it. Yet it still has the same effect on your heart rate.
Yep.
And I mean, it sounds terrifying.
Yes, and the mere suggestion of sleep paralysis can make someone have it. Megan, go ahead.
Hi, it's Megan from North Attleboro.
North Attleboro in the house.
I had sleep paralysis probably a handful of times, and it is terrifying.
Now, did you see anything?
So what happens is, like, you can't scream. Pretty much, you can't move. And it felt like somebody grabbed my ankles and dragged me out of my bed, and I cannot scream. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's a big thing is for me, too, is that you'll think that you're screaming and you're calling for help, but in reality, you're not making any noise.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I've actually, like, seen my wife next to me in bed and, like, thought I was screaming to wake me up and then realizing that I'm not making any sound.
Can you take anything that either helps you sleep deeper or gives you that chemical that you know don't get up and move around? Like, is there any treatment for this sleep paralysis?
Well, the sleep paralysis, my psychiatrist gave me something that was like something blood pressure or something like that, but it was stupid. I didn't take it. Curtis, go ahead.
Gentlemen, this thing, you know, some people may not know what a sleep paralysis is. It's like, you know, through different cultures, it's called different things. But one of the more commonly ways it's referred to is as old hag syndrome. And what people perceive there to be an old hag or a witch that's sitting on their chest. And that causes the paralysis perceived, you know, to be the cause of paralysis.
Yeah. So, That is absolutely true. That is people, for some reason, whatever, as human beings, I don't know. It's one of these great mysteries, again, and I'm not being sarcastic, is that a lot of people, I've not had this, but a lot of people in all cultures throughout all time have had the same vision of this old, like, witch-looking woman sitting on their chest. And isn't it odd, think about it, that people, regardless of time or exposure to things, have all had the same vision when they are in that state. Isn't that odd?
It's crazy.
It actually makes me feel better that we are somehow connected as a species.
Somebody just tweeted, I had sleep paralysis once and saw a demon coming towards me. It's the worst experience of my life. That's probably this witch you're talking about. And that's what in the movie talked a lot about that.
I prescribed 2 doses of Iron Maiden. So you can befriend the demon. For it is a human number. Its number is 666. Ben, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So I probably experienced this for about 10 years, and I noticed it when I was like 23, 24. Every now and then, probably like weekly, I'll see like kind of like a dark aberration. I'll like wake up, not move for like 2 seconds, and I'll sit up. My wife will be like, "What the hell are you doing?" And now I'm used to it, but at first I thought I was literally, like, haunted. And then I kind of heard about this thing just doing my own research about paralysis. It's, from what I gather, it happens to people who don't sleep very well in the first place and maybe have sleep apnea. So,
it's weird because it happens when I nap. It does not happen when I'm asleep at night. I don't know if it's the rhythms that your body has and what is it called? The sleep rhythms.
Biorhythms or something?
No,
circadia?
Circadia? No.
Is that right?
I don't know. Yeah, it's something.
Yeah.
Circadian rhythms. Yeah, maybe it's that and that your body is fighting the idea of going to that deep sleep in the afternoon. But because I sleep in 2 shifts basically now.
Yeah.
I sleep 5 hours at night and then like 2.5-3 hours during the day. Which is what every doctor recommends.
That's what I've been doing for years. Yeah. It's weird.
Doctors love hearing that.
What's weird regular is I physical. Sleep better in the afternoon than I do at night. Like, the afternoon, for some reason, is like the
best. There's no pressure. There's really no pressure. Because if you don't sleep, you just say, I can make it up at night. But at night, you go, I got to go do the work, you know?
Yep.
Jason, go ahead.
How you doing? Thank you for explaining that to me, Fred, because I've always felt the same way. And I always thought it was that realm of sleep that I was going into. Like, I'd feel the feeling like I was floating, flying into the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it happens every time I've taken a nap. And the weirdest thing is, if I take a nap, it might happen to me that night, too.
Yeah. I think you're disrupting your natural sleep rhythms in what what you've been wired to do, what humans are supposed to do, and in terms of sleeping, you know,
Treatment? See, that's the thing, is that, this is something if you were getting this regularly, it would be the bane of your existence. I mean, I couldn't even imagine having that, like, once a week, like some of these people are saying.
Every day. I had it Monday through Friday. I would have it.
Wow.
Yeah. It went away for the most part, but I've had it recently. And again, last night I got up yelling. And what's funny is that, and then Stephanie goes, like, shut up, or something like that. Instead of like, oh, my God, something's wrong.
You okay?
She's like, what the hell? What the hell? All right. Well, we can revisit some of these documentaries. I just want to know, have you seen Hell House, Rich?
No, I haven't. All right. I've heard about it, though.
Oh, yeah. I got to see it because apparently it's great. It's about a super evangelical church that puts on this haunted house that attracts 13,000 people of Halloween. And it's all about, like, there's, like, an abortion room.
Oh, man.
And, like, all this stuff. And, like, a big thing is if you do they act out, like, domestic abuse and stuff. It's got to be the greatest. But one example is that the kids, like, you know, they're these church kids that aren't exposed to anything. So the kids are making the hell room. And one of the kids tries to make a pentagram. And what do you think they instead draw?
Star of David.
Yeah. So well, in the good. Hell room, in order to illustrate how freaky hell is, there's stars of David all over the place. Because Lord knows.
Perfect.
Lord knows. There's got to be a lot of Jews down there, according to the church.
Right next to the Pappas Mountains of Maine.
Yes, exactly. It says, the guy from Kansas City is a proud member of this church. It says, the movie plays with this contrast to sometimes humorous ends. One shot lingers on a pentagram drawn by a sheltered Christian teen that's actually a Star of David.
All right, I might need to watch this too.
Oh, yeah. Insidious but it never loses sight of the insidious stereotypes and repressed desires that play in the scenes. Because, I mean, if you're a teen, you're acting out this stuff. And I mean, like banging chicks and stuff. Scenes is when a camera lingers on the face of a church leader dumped for another man during a grisly tableau of unfaithful wife being murdered. So there you go. Hell House is that would be the worth the price of admission. A evangelical haunted house filled with the sins and the repercussions of their what happens. All right, Jeff Howe is going to join us. We can talk about the Patriots as certain. I have never, by the way, gotten more positive feedback talking about the Patriots from longtime fans such as John. That I opened up my email yesterday evening, chock full of people going, you tell these fans that have only been a fan of the team in the Brady years that this is the reality, that accept this reality. And these older fans are almost rallying around the point of, yes, this is what happens. Teams end up sucking for a while. But is this the case? I think they'd be Buffalo, but we can talk Jeff Howell about all these things.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
four-man rush. Throw out to the left, incomplete.
I'm ready.
Skipped it in the direction of Demir Byrne on the far side. You had Burkhead in the middle of the field as well for the Patriots, and New England is forced to punt it back to San Francisco.
Get Stidham ready. Get him throwing. You got to do something, Bill. He ain't got it today. He's not seeing it right. You got to make the switch.
What the hell song is this?
This is John Cougar, right?
I need one lover that won't drive me crazy.
Johnny Cougar, he may have been at the time, or John Cougar.
John Mellencamp.
John.
No, at the time.
This was Johnny Cougar.
By the way, if you want a real laugh, go look up him performing this song, or, you know, I ain't even done with the night on, like, American Bandstand.
Lip syncing it.
Oh,
yes.
My God. In front of, like, cheerleaders and stuff. He's wearing, like, a t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah. They
They made it funny.
Yeah. Because John Mellencamp became pretty good, but they made him a complete. When he was Johnny Cougar, oh boy.
He was like 1950s Elvis rock guy for a long time before they changed the image.
Yeah, they really put him through
the
washing machine.
So you've seen the video.
Machine.
Oh, man, yeah. It is funny.
Yeah, he was no good as Johnny Cougar.
No.
But the best thing is he landed some supermodel and said, we're moving to rural Indiana.
You know what's crazy about him is that smoke. Every time I hear him, I think one thing, and that is that he's got a reputation of being apparently one of the biggest pricks in music. I've talked to, like, two different people who have interviewed him before, and they said they both have the same story, that he couldn't have been a bigger jackhole. Like, just unbelievably rude and just disinterested, and I hear that from everyone. It's rare that you get that, like, you unanimously, everybody says this guy's a real jerk.
Dan has met him.
Well, met in quotation. Because, yes, Richard, was exactly what you said. It was just a quick backstage meet and greet. And, you know, those can be creepy sometimes. But we were all told, you know, John Mellencamp is coming out. And this was later on in his career. And the only thing that ran through my head was, you're John Mellencamp. You don't have to do this. And right. The guy, and it was, I think he signed with Columbia Records. And my record rep at the time was such a big fan. And he had worked for Columbia. And he's telling me these stories about, you know, Billy Joel was on Columbia, Bruce Springsteen, all these people. And all of a sudden, Mellencamp came out. And we were in a group photo of like eight people. And the band was with us, too. And then there was six other groups of people that were waiting. And after the first photo, he blew smoke in my face. I have him with the cigarette. Literally, us short guys were in front, and he blew the smoke in my face. And then he walked away and didn't do any of the other photographs. And there were contest winners. And all of a sudden, the poor record guy's just standing there going, I don't know what to do.
It's like nobody has a good story about it.
They're like,
him.
Don't shake it. Oh, and they even said to me, don't shake his hand and don't give him anything to sign.
Wow. Yeah, he's. I know people who know. I know a girl who knew Maynard from Tool when he lived in Grand Rapids, and he was a prick then, though.
You see, I've had good stories with him, though. Like, he's been nice to me, and I've seen him be a dick before. So he's one of those guys that's off and on. Like, everybody unanimously, I've not heard one good story about John Cougar. Johnny Cougar, I guess, is what the cool guys used to call him.
I interviewed Maynard from Tool, and I just ignored him because the record rep was so scared that I was going to offend him. I just interviewed Josh Freese, and then Maynard got pissed I wasn't asking him any questions. But then again, the man made a vineyard in Arizona, so, I mean, he's possible.
Which I went to, I found, and bought a bottle of his wine.
I have a friend who just texted me, my commencement graduation speaker was John Cougar at IU, Indiana. He got on stage, and the main thing was to throw a piece of gum into the audience and say, don't kiss ass.
Okay. Oh, man.
Yeah, Andrew Dice Mellencamp. Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for The Athletic. He did the commencement address at Saugus Community College. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Jeffrey Howe, hello, sir.
Oh, hey.
Hi. Good follow-up on what we were just talking about. All right, so just seamless the way you get into these
What's
interviews.
What's your Cougar story there?
No, or just anything. Like, who was my commencement speaker? I mean, you could have made it more natural, but why not?
I felt like I was in the other room at a party where everybody was just talking about me.
Okay. Well, listen, Jeff Howe, I'm sure it happens all the time. The Patriots are not good right now. And one of the things is the inability of Cam Newton to be a good quarterback. Bill Belichick says Stidham is not going to play. What does this mean about Stidham? Because obviously this is a team that's not winning a Super Bowl, so we look to the future. I guess they're just out on him, I would assume, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly that part's certainly in play. I think the other part of it is Belichick has to know that for this team to make a run, at some point this season, even if it's a long shot right now, if this team's going to make a run, it's going to be with Cam Newton, the quarterback. And you're not going to – he's certainly not ready to pull the trigger and make a quarterback change going into Buffalo. I mean, your season's on the line Sunday in Buffalo. So you got to look at it that way. If you beat Buffalo, you do still have a chance to win the division. And I know the rest of the schedule is pretty tough, but if you start off with a win in Buffalo, then, you know, the division is still in your grasp. But if you go to Stidham and you lose to Buffalo, I guess your chances of Stidham playing well or Cam Newton turning it around and showing some flashes of what you saw in the first 3 weeks of the season, you know, that's what you're banking on. You're still kind of thinking that maybe that extra week of practice is going to get Cam Newton right and your defense won't completely face plant like it did against the 49ers. So, you know, again, this is basically a one-week season right now, and you got to figure out which quarterback is going to give you your best chance to win. I would be surprised if Cam Newton had – I think Belichick is going to have a quicker trigger, is what I'm trying to say, if Cam Newton has another first half the way that he did against the 49ers, though.
What's going on with Cam Newton? I mean, I mean, there's people trying to figure out who he was the first couple weeks as opposed to now. I mean, anything from the yips as to this is just who he is to it's COVID results. Like, what do you think is going on watching the tape?
There are two things that really stick out. One is he's just not confident in the reads that he's making. There are guys that are open and he's looking at them. I mean, you can see him looking at N'Keal Harry breaking free against the linebacker at one point early in the game Sunday against San Francisco, and he just didn't throw the ball. And I think he ended up scrambling on that play for 4 yards. He's just – the confidence isn't there to make those reads, and I don't understand that part of it. But the other part is he's having some mechanical issues with his left foot, so he's not always stepping forward. He's got this weird tendency, and it doesn't happen whether it's pressure or a clean pocket. It's just – it sort of happens sporadically where instead of stepping forward into his throws, he's stepping to the side. That happens on a short hop to Damir Bird. It happened on the deep interception to Jacoby Myers. It happened against Denver the week before. There are several instances over the last two games when that foot gets away from him, and that's when you're seeing some of the ugliest throws that you've seen him make in a Patriots uniform. So that's one of those things that I think he can clean up pretty quickly. I have no idea where the slow reads thing is starting to come from.
What has happened to his presence in the pocket? What happened to his ability to feel the rush coming at him? I mean, you saw it against Seattle. He was great against Seattle. And then it just disappeared. What has happened in the last 3 weeks?
You know, I think that part of that could be defensively. You know, I think you're seeing more teams pay a little more close attention to the line of scrimmage, whether it's spying Cam Newton or, you know, even in an instance when they were, I mean, Sunday, 3rd and 4 early in the game, that first third down failure, they double covered James White basically right at the line of scrimmage. And that's why James White only caught a 3 yard pass. And that play had absolutely no chance of getting a first down. So I think you might be seeing defenses just not respect the downfield stuff as much. And when you got more bodies close to the line of scrimmage, it's going to be tougher for Cam Newton to scramble. It's also going to be tougher for him to make some of those short throws. I mean, just, you know, the N'Keal Harry throw is another example when he suffered that concussion. I mean, that throw was into double coverage, but, you know, there wasn't a whole lot else out there. So I think it's just defenses are forcing him to beat them over the top or at least with some intermediate or downfield throws before they start to back off. Because, again, that takes away the scrambling ability.
How much of this is on Josh McDaniels, do you think? Because when they just do that, I mean, it seems to me you could run a really basic offense with Cam Newton and have some success just based on his size and your plethora of running backs. Do you put any of this on Josh McDaniels?
Not really. Because he was having such a good start to the season. And, yeah, I mean, there's certainly some merit to that. You could say, well, why not bring back, dust off that Miami game plan and try to bring back some of that power running game that made, and everything else sort of built off of that. I think maybe, I guess, you know, your offensive line was as good as it's been, or at least the personnel on paper was as good as it's been Sunday for weeks. So that would have been a good time to do it. But the other side is the game got away from them so quickly on Sunday that it was like, what are you going to do? Are you going to try to run that power run? I mean, remember after week one, the big question was, okay, that looked great and all, but what happens if you're down a couple scores? Well, you can't really run that type of game plan when you're down 16-3 at the snap of a finger. And part of that is because the offense is so bad that they were down 16-3 at the snap of a finger. So there's a, you know, it's tough, but I don't know how much blame I can really put on McDaniels for this one.
Okay, so Jeff, there is a kind of weird crossroads that the Patriots are going to have. They're going to have to make a decision after this Buffalo game as to whether they're going to possibly be sellers, or as Jason Lockenfora reported this weekend, the Patriots potentially looking to add at wide receiver. Who's out there, and who would the Patriots be looking at if they decide to go in that direction?
Not a lot. I think the guys that you're looking at, you know, Golden Tate, Keelan Cole, Marvin Jones, there's, I mean, if you really, like, if they beat San Francisco and then they had a chance to beat Buffalo, I could stomach, you know, absorbing A.J. Green's salary for the rest of the season, but I wouldn't go anywhere near him at this point unless you're saying like a seventh round pick or a conditional or whatever. I mean, there's not a whole lot out there. There's the pool of available wide receivers right now. I wouldn't give up more than a fifth round pick to acquire any of them. But, you know, at tight ends, Kyle Rudolph, Tyler Eifert, you know, there's a couple more names.
All right, Jeff, can you really in good conscience go out and get a tight end after this year's draft where you took two? Aren't you just kind of saying we're adding to garbage? Like, they use two big assets on tight ends to go out and sign a free agent. I mean, they're just giving up.
No, I think that'd be an extreme way to look at it, because tight end position, this deserves context. That's a tough position for rookies to come in and learn. And I keep using this example. Rob Gronkowski wasn't a full-time player in his rookie season until week 10. And that was after having a full off season. That was a training camp that still had two-a-days. And it's just, you know, the language of the playbook and the amount of responsibility that these tight ends have in this offense has made it so it's extremely difficult for guys like Asiasi and Dalton Keene to come in and perform right away. Now, I think a fair criticism is saying, well, does it need to be that complicated? Because you just spent two high assets on these guys and you can't get them on the field. So there is some of that at play too, but, you know, just comparing that to the Gronkowski situation back in 2010, it's tough for these guys to get on the field. This isn't like,
okay,
these guys and determined they're a wash, but if you're looking at a Kyle Rudolph or something like that, it's just to come in and say, well, it's tough. They haven't both been on the field at the same time. They haven't even been active at the same time. So you need to have somebody who's out there and can be a competent red zone threat, or somebody who can at least spell Ryan Izzo from time to time.
Well, my philosophy would be completely counter to what the Patriots are doing. At this point, I would say I'm going to adjust my offense in a million different directions. I'd adjust my offense so that I could actually play these kids and see what they could do. And I would also adjust my offense so I can not have Cam Newton in situations where he's crapping himself. I would say this is the reality. And, you know, I'm not going to go out and get Kyle Rudolph so I can win another game and lose in the first round of the playoffs. But that might not be what they're thinking. But I do, Jeff, like them over Buffalo. I don't think Buffalo is a very good offensive team, and we shall see. Do you like that? Do you like them against Buffalo? How's your early feelings on this game?
I certainly don't discount them. I saw something interesting. Tim Graham, our writer in Buffalo, had a stat the other day that the Buffalo's 5-2, but they've been outscored. And teams that are 5-2 but outscored by their opponents have actually missed the playoffs more often than they've made them. So Buffalo's on a really weird path right now, where the record looks great and the start to the season was awesome, but they're actually like, they have a worse chance of making the playoffs because of like the point differential. So Buffalo could be a bit fraudulent. And I think there's a lot to like about that team, but the way that they're playing, they're certainly vulnerable. And not having the whole Bills Mafia scene, I mean, this would have been an awesome scene up there under normal conditions with the way the two teams are playing and going into it. But it's going to be a weird week. I certainly don't think the Patriots are out of this one by any stretch of the imagination. And again, if you beat Buffalo, you know, you still have to go out there and you have to beat some teams that are on paper better than you right now the rest of the way. Not just beat some, you have to beat like four out of the six good teams that they have remaining. And that's going to be tough to do. But if Buffalo kind of craps the bed here, 9-7 to win this division is really out of the realm of possibility. Point.
It is not. It is absolutely not. Jeff Howe, and it's just going to be perfect. Jeff Howe, thank you so much for the time. Go join The Athletic. We all have. Do you have a subscription there, John?
Yes, I do.
We all have. Out of our own pockets, we belong to The Athletic. Thank you so much for the time, Mr.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Maybe a little better transition next time if we're talking about something else. But I'll tell you this, is a little sense of humor. Because you're a fan of the show, Jeff. You were when you were a kid. You've been a fan since the BCN days. But I will tell you this, is that this is how it's going to play out. Is that Buffalo is a fraudulent team, and the Patriots are going to beat them. And it's going to play out where there will be calls, Fred, you said, and look at what's happening, and da-da-da. And then, thump, the bottom comes out. So,
you mean the Patriots win the division and get blasted in the first round again?
Or sniff around winning the division, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be mediocre, and they're a mediocre team.
I can see how this would be. I just want to see entertaining football. Please, can we just ask for that?
No.
I just want to see an entertaining football game.
Not with
just
Cam Newton.
Just one that's not just somewhat competitive.
Nope, or, not you know with what? Cam Newton.
Well, with Cam Newton, if he decides to start running again, I mean, my God.
It's boring.
There are so many plays last week.
For them to win,
Rich. Wide open in front of them.
For them to win, they're going to have to be incredibly boring offensively. And Cam Newton running is boring. It's going to be a boring game.
That I don't agree with. Cam Newton running is not boring. Now, it's terrifying.
We'll see. No. He's 500 pounds.
It's what kind of running are we talking? Are we talking about scrambling?
Options.
Are we talking about
read pass option?
Two different types of running, Rich. I mean, there's the exciting type of run where Newton gets away from like three guys and runs for 25
yards.
Yeah,
I'm talking early in the season running that we got.
No. For them to win, it's going to and for them to beat Buffalo, it's going to be an exceptionally boring game.
But, because of what Jeff Howe said, there are more people closer to the line of scrimmage because there are no downfield threats.
Yep.
You won't see a lot of Cam Newton 20, 25-yard runs.
What
you will
see. I have no faith that this is going to be a snooze fest. I have no – I mean, this is –
Oh, it's going to be
Josh
boring.
Allen, by the way, is a lot like that. Josh Allen is about 6 yards and crumpled to the turf also.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it's going to be an incredibly boring game.
Now, the plus side to all of that, the boring game will be quick because there will be a lot of running. But still.
A lot of reviews maybe, though.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back. I really do like the Patriots against Buffalo, and I think that this season is going to play out exactly like that. That the Patriots have the good fortune of being in a division with very, very poor teams or very, very flawed teams, and they're just good enough, unfortunately, for Patriot fans.
You got the Ravens, the Rams, and Buffalo
You're just good enough to sneak into the playoffs and lose, which is not where you want to be. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. With Toucher and Rich. Okay, so where are we with the Patriots? It's an interesting place. Now, do you want... what do you want? Do you want the team... This team's not winning a Super Bowl. We all agree. Let's stop. And if you don't agree, I really don't want to have the debate. Because they're not winning a Super Bowl. So where... And they're not winning the AFC. So where we are... Is this is a team that can... Do you want them to win the division? I think that they're beating Buffalo, and I think that they're going to have a shot at the division. Do you want them to win this division? And you... What would... It's entertainment. What would be the best entertainment for you? A team that wins the division and gets to the playoffs, a team you know is not going to win the Super Bowl, or a team where you're looking forward to the draft and the maneuvering in the offseason and the building of the franchise. Now, that is for the audience. That is not for the room.
Okay.
That is for the audience. 617-779-0985. Paul, go ahead.
Fred, I need to give you kudos because I catch all the other shows on 98.5. I catch some other shows. Nobody ever talks about Josh McDaniels and how awful of an offensive coordinator he really is. He had Tom Brady under center almost his entire career, and everywhere else he went, either went 7-9 or 6-10.
My thoughts, I agree with you. My thoughts on Josh McDaniels is that it's wasted opportunity from him, because I agree with you. I think that I could have been the offensive coordinator for the Patriots and had some success with Tom Brady. And the idea that he had the balls to go in and not only turn down head coaching jobs, but to take a head coaching job, hire a staff, and then quit, is that he's, I think that he knew, I think that Josh McDaniels knows in his heart that he's not capable of being a head coach of the NFL. And his actions speak to that. And now that he does not have Tom Brady, and really, John, you know this, you could do, and we talked about it with Joe Murray, is that you could do a read-pass option with this guy and win football games. Your defense is good, and, you know, they're not good when they're getting gassed because it's three and outs every time.
Under certain circumstances, if you get a lead, and Jeff Howe spoke to this, if you get a lead, you can go read-pass option all day and kill the clock and win games 21-10.
But also, John, you don't get down two touchdowns as easily as if you're not three and out. If you don't have a guy who's getting sacked or, sure, you know, missing targets by 10 yards. I mean, if you have five running backs, it's the one strength of your offense.
This team, and I was thinking about this last night, this team as constituted offensively needs Cam Newton more than they need Jared Stidham. I want Jared Stidham, based on what I've seen from Cam Newton the last 3 weeks. I mean, Jared Stidham, I thought, should be the starting quarterback, but if this team is still trying to win games, if this team is trying to get to the playoffs, if this team manages to beat Buffalo this weekend and you're close and you still have a puncher's chance of making the playoffs, Cam Newton has to be the quarterback with this offense as currently constituted. Because Jared Stidham's not a read-pass option guy. He's not a turn-and-hand-the-ball-off guy. He's a throw-the-ball-down-the-field-and-get-intercepted guy.
Well, I'm no fan of McDaniels, but what are you going to do with these players? Like, I mean, you got no wide receivers.
You're gonna
hand the ball off. You have a quarterback. You hand the ball off to Damian Harris. You hand the ball off to Rex Burkhead. You throw swing passes to James White out of the backfield, and you read pass option the other team to death and hope Newton can get you 4 or 5 yards a pop.
Ten times a game. The week before, I can actually say, well, okay, the offensive line was nobody's. But you're right. This past week, they should have done
so. Bill Belichick is trying to win by keeping Cam Newton as a quarterback.
What you're doing is that it's twofold. One, I want to know what the fans want. Do you want that? You want every week? Are you going to watch a boring product and, you know, hope that they make the playoffs only to lose? Or is this something that you want to get in? You're excited about the future of the team and the building of the team and getting fresh pieces in to make this actually a Super Bowl contender? Because both are different ways to enjoy a team. One is, which is what I've always had to do, is focusing on the future. And one is, okay, well, I can compartmentalize this, and I know.
Compartmentalize.
Yeah, you say it, not me. You compartmentalize.
Yes!
This.
Compartmentalize. Nice job.
And I know that, the knowledge of them not winning the Super Bowl, winning the AFC, doesn't really matter because I just want to see them win games. All right, Mike, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. So, Fred, this is the whole thing with you and this like, what's the point if they're just going to lose in the first round of the playoffs? And what's the point of the season then? Like, for you, you keep pounding this point home because, like, for you, it's misery loves company or something, right?
Well, I'm teaching Patriots fans how to deal with what the current situation
is. All right. Whatever. But
don't dismiss it. It's actually something I've gotten a tremendous amount of positive response from. Is that people appreciate this? You might not.
No,
maybe you don't have the mental.
Yesterday,
maybe you don't have the mental fortitude to get where I'm coming from. Whoa. Okay, I will. I'll shut up.
Here we go.
Yesterday, you're talking about your garbage Lions.
Yes.
About how they could, you know, run the table, go 9-7, and make the playoffs. And isn't that what you're telling Patriots fans not to root for?
The Lions.
Boring. And don't say the Patriots aren't like the Lions. It's still football, and we still want to watch good football. Like, we don't want our team to go 1-15.
Why?
So we can have a good draft pick.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, because you have a better chance of getting better. Then you can actually build a franchise. You're not stuck in mediocrity with a bunch of contracts.
How worked out for the Jets?
Poorly, because they're not owned by the Krafts. They're owned by two losers. They're owned by the Johnson family. If the Patriots are owned by the Kraft.
That's why they go 1-11, because they're owned by losers.
Yes. Yes.
Like, not
a million
not
times. They're owned by losers. They're owned by terrible losers. The Jets are a disgusting franchise.
And how
Absolutely.
Many of the great teams are because they were 1-15 a couple years ago?
Oh,
how many,
you don't think so?
Right now. Well, 1-15 a couple years ago.
Every single franchise in every sport has gone through the doldrums to get to the top.
Right now, this year,
the 49ers.
Right now, were 1-15 a couple years ago.
The great teams, Kansas City was terrible before Andy Reid.
They were.
Oh, absolutely, they were. No, Romeo Crennel was the head coach of Kansas City. I'm speaking the truth.
Mike, you're an idiot. And what you are is you're someone who can't you've bought too much into the Patriots. They affect your life too much. Go find something that you can control instead of yelling at me. Because you've said shut up twice now, and that's just plain rude, Mike. I gave you an opportunity to talk, and you abused it. And so, therefore, anything that you said that might have resonated with people is lost.
San Francisco was 4-12 in 2018. And Kansas City with Romeo Crennel was 2-14 the year before Andy Reid showed up.
That was 8 years ago.
Let's look at the defense of San Francisco and break down how many first-round picks are on that thing, that Super Bowl team. How many first-round picks? They're stacked. That defense is stacked with good first-round picks. So give me a break, please. You have to be bad to be good, unless you're a generational talent like Tom Brady. And you can cover up a lot of this.
We keep going over it. Dynasties, when they end, they don't end well. I mean, we've said it over and over again. Apparently, no one's gotten the message. Just go back and look. Don't take my word for it. Go back and look at how bad Pittsburgh was in the mid-80s. Go back and look at how bad Dallas was after Aikman and Irvin and Emmitt Smith left.
And before Aikman and Irvin and Emmitt Smith and how they built that
team. Yeah, Roger Staubach in the 70s.
By the way, what built that Dallas team with Troy Aikman? Was them dealing Herschel Walker.
Aikman was the number one overall pick.
And that draft where they had 85 number
because
one picks because of the Herschel Walker deal. So
but, here's the problem, is that Bill Belichick does not want to have that type of season.
Then that might be a problem.
It is a problem.
That is. And that's an excellent point. So we have to break.
He doesn't want to lose.
Right. Exactly. Which is
uncharted territory.
Especially this year, Brady is down in Tampa for the first time.
Agreed. Well, I agree.
I think that horse is out of the barn. No matter what Belichick does this year, the Patriots are not going to be as good as Tampa Bay is.
No, they're not. Unless
Brady gets injured, they're not going to be. And Blaine Gabbert is the quarterback.
Goes in there and just ruins it all.
That's right. Well, that's the hope, I guess, if you're Belichick. He's probably excited about that signing. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.